Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the gift of life. Thank you for your mercy that you've shown towards us throughout this week. Thank you, Lord, for your divine hand that has upheld us, preserved us, protected us, and kept us. This precious morning, Lord, we are grateful that we can come into your presence with joy in our hearts. That in the midst of all the difficulties, in the midst of all the challenges, in the midst of all the tribulations, in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the situations that we've encountered, we can still say that you are Lord. You are God over everything. You are greater and bigger than anything. You are greater and bigger, oh God. You are mightier than anything that calls itself mighty. And for that, we give you praise. Lord, this morning, as we attend to your word, lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Grant us clarity. Grant us the spirit of revelation. May we not live the same. May we live, O God, quickened in our spirit man to live your word. Thank you for your spirit that is with us. And thank you for your angels that you've dispatched to minister to your people. We are certain that we will never live the same. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. And everyone shouted a big amen. Oh, a better round of applause for the Lord. And give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Wow. Look at your neighbor and give your neighbor a smile. Amen. I think my minstrel is in love. You guys will have to look for the guy. You have to look for the guy, I tell you. She's seriously in love. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for his mercy. This afternoon, we are really looking forward to having our mother in the house. How many are looking forward? Amen. Episcopal Sister Adelaide will be in the house live. Amen. I know for sure that we'll be blessed greatly because we are coming. Amen. This morning, I want to continue on the 10 reasons why you must pray. Turn to somebody and tell him 10 reasons. You know, there are reasons for everything. How many agree that there are reasons for everything? Not having a reason is even a reason. Hallelujah. Yeah, so there are reasons for everything. You know, the only thing is that there might not be explanations for everything, but there are reasons for everything. Amen. And when it comes to prayer also, I believe that God has some reasons. The reasons are more than 10. Hallelujah. But I'm sharing with you 10 reasons. There are more than 10 reasons. Many more reasons why you have to pray. Hallelujah. You know, as is declared a year of work, what you must understand is that as part of the work, prayer forms 50%. Hallelujah. Yeah, prayer forms 50%. Say after me, prayer forms 50% of the work. Yeah, I remember very well in the book of Acts, the Bible says that as the people were struggling over food and the sharing of things and they were complaining and saying that, yes, very tired, and they said that, look, Charlie, let us choose among us some men that are of good report, that are full of faith, that have accompanied with us, and let's hand over the serving of tables. But as for us, we will give ourselves, number one, to prayer. And number two, to the ministry of the word, which means that the work of God is prayer and the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. So prayer is work. So when you hear that this year has been declared a year of work, we are saying that we are going to pray more. Because prayer is work. Hallelujah. Prayer makes you build the greatest connection you can think about. I mean, there are some people living on earth who have serious connections. They have serious, they can enter certain doors and they can walk through some corridors of power. And we call them connection men. Have you heard that before? That this person is a connection man. If you want a visa to America, he can get it for you. If you want a visa to UK, he will get it for you. If you want a visa to Togo, no, Togo is not part. Hallelujah. Whatever visa you want, he can get it for you. Why are they calling them connection men? Because they have access to a place where you don't have access to. When you are a man of prayer, in the same way, you become like a connection man. There are things that cannot be addressed by ordinary men, but because you built a connection with God, oh, there is no mountain that is too high that you cannot move it. There is no valley that is too deep that you cannot feel it. There is no path that is too crooked that it cannot be made straight. If you can only stand in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. And so you need to understand that prayer is work. Prayer is work. Hallelujah. Is work. And the ministry of the word is work. But today, and the few days that we have ahead of us, we are zeroing in on prayer. Prayer. Develop the best habit, the best culture, the best behavior called prayer. Hallelujah. Like I said last week, many Christians don't pray. Many Christians don't pray. The maximum Christians pray is 2 minutes. Some pray for 17 seconds. Hallelujah. No, because I'm telling you, time is very long. You pray in tongues, when you check, it's just 20 seconds. How many have felt that way before? It's like you thought you had prayed for a very long time, and then when you check the time, it was just about 1 minute, 20. Hallelujah. But may you be conscious of the very fact that you must connect to God all the time. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting to have somebody who always talks to you. Somebody who engages you in constant conversation helps you to build a certain relationship. You know, some people are falling in love when they shouldn't have fallen in love. They fell in love just because of a certain constant communication. True. True. And that is why sometimes we advise that, look, you need to really, really be careful, you know, with, because sometimes some of the ladies, you see, when you start communicating for a long time, it's as if you have given them a sign that, Charlie, it looks like I'm interested in you. Oh, yeah. I mean, many years ago, about 30 years ago, I had a friend. We were in the fellowship together. You know, we used to pray together. We used to do things together. And one day, somebody told the girl that, Charlie, the brother, he didn't try to cry because he had heard that I was going to marry. And they said, oh, Charlie, brother, too, he didn't try to cry. I mean, he's been with you. I mean, we know that, Charlie, if anything at all, you are the one. And the lady said, he didn't say anything. Why are you guys there deducing that he said, so he didn't say anything. You know, because of our constant communication, seeing us walking together, seeing us relating over the period, there was a conclusion, a foregone conclusion that she is the one. Hallelujah. But she was just a Christian sister. Hallelujah. She was just a Christian sister. Maybe she even developed interest, but because I had not said anything, maybe she didn't. She couldn't also say it. What I'm trying to say is that it is not bad, after all, to communicate. But what I'm saying is that sometimes communication, to a lady can generate problem when that is not your intention. Anyway, that is not what we are talking about. That one, we'll leave it for this afternoon. Amen. But for what you have, for what we have to hear today, we are saying that prayer is key. I tell you, prayer is key. Amen. The first thing we spoke about was that prayer makes you into a man or a woman of faith. Say after me, prayer makes you into a man or a woman of faith. You know, because prayer is an act of faith. Prayer is an act of faith. Anytime you stand before God and you pray, you are saying that, Lord, I cannot do anything. I need direction. I need your direction. I need your help. I need your counsel. I need your guidance. I'm having a situation. Hallelujah. So it's not just asking for things, but it's generally communicating with him on every issue that you can think about. Amen. We read from the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1. And this morning, I think that the prophet nailed it. Gave us a very beautiful illustration of a young lady who wanted to go to Paris. And the lady kept disturbing that, I want to go to Paris. It was an illustration. I want to go to Paris. I want to go. As he was teaching, she was still insisting, I want to go to Paris. As the lady was singing, the minister was saying, I want to go to Paris. Disturbed and disturbed and disturbed. And he was using the illustration of this judge who never regarded man and did not fear God. You know? But because of the continual, knocking, the continual and the persistence of the woman's attention, the man's attention was drawn. Hallelujah. And he said, look, at a point it just occurred to me, though I'm using it as an illustration, but it just occurred to me that this young girl, how old are you? Said, I'm 18. He said, I'm going to buy you a ticket to Paris. And in reality, he's going to buy her a ticket to Paris. You know, it was a powerful illustration, but sometimes you may not know at what point the Holy Spirit can touch a person's heart. In the same way, also, as the lady was persistent and persistent, at a point it occurred to Bishop to buy the lady a ticket. Listen to me, when you continue to pray, at a point it occurs to God that he must answer you speedily. May the Lord answer you speedily. I say, may the Lord answer you speedily. Every prayer that you have put before God, may he answer you speedily. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says that, but without faith, it is impossible. It's Spanish. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many want to please the Lord? Only 16 people want to please the Lord. Now, if you want to please the Lord, then you must walk in faith. And like I said, if you're going to walk in faith, one of the ways to walk in faith is to pray. Hallelujah. He says that they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So prayer is going to make you into an anointed person. You see, you are going to change situations around you when you walk in faith. You are going to change circumstances around you when you walk in faith. You are going to change the course of events when you walk in faith. You are going to change difficulties, trying circumstances when you walk in faith. Hallelujah. In other words, when you pray, prayer changes things. I said prayer changes things. And I see prayer changing things in your life. Now, when you don't know what to do, you just have to pray. Hallelujah. When you are finding life so difficult and you've come to the crossroads, you are in a valley of decision, you've got to pray. You've got to pray. I remember there used to be this rapper who got born again called MC Hammer. He made a song. He says, you've got to pray. You've got to pray just to make it today. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer. I'm telling you, prayer. Because when you pray, you actually connect to an invisible power. An invisible force. And that force is God, the Holy Ghost. And when he takes over things, things that naturally cannot be moved, that invisible power can move it. Oh yeah, that disease that you have experienced, it's like it's become chronic now. The doctors are saying that, look, this is chronic. He's your roommate now. You just have to live with it. I mean, when you wake up, you call it, good morning, Charlie, are you here? Oh, you are still around. Okay, Charlie, let's flow. You know, because there are people who have accepted the situation. But listen to me, prayer can change things. You didn't say amen to that. I said prayer can change things. And I see prayer changing things in your life. Hallelujah. Something is changing. I said something is changing. I said something is changing. Hallelujah. Amen. The second thing I want you to understand is that prayer makes you into a man or a woman of authority. Say, God is making me into a man of authority. Oh, yeah. Man of authority. You just look at every developed country. They are policemen, they have radios. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, you may be a policeman. You might not have a rifle, but you must have a radio. The radio is very, very important. The radio connects you to other places. You know, because you can have somebody attacking you, and even when he's attacking you, the radio picks all the events that is going on, and then it will send a signal somewhere, and then somebody can come to your rescue. True or not true? I said true or not true? So as a child of God, you need to connect to the radio. And how can you connect to the radio? You need to choose the right megahertz and connect to it. And once you have that connection, you can be able to hear God speaking. And then you can also be communicating with the Lord. As we are here, Charlie, Oman FM is on. Joy FM is on. Sweet Melody is on. Every FM that you know about is on. Why are you not hearing them? You are not hearing them because, number one, you don't have the device. You need. I have to pray. But what you must do is that with the device, if you want a particular radio station, you must have knowledge of how to connect it. In other words, you must have knowledge of God's word. Knowledge, if I want Sweet Melodies, what I need, the knowledge of knowing that is 94.3 megahertz. In other words, if you want to connect to God, you must also have that device, the stage to pray, and then you must also know the word of God. to connect. And when you are connected, suddenly you begin to see that you are hearing and hearing clearly. Hallelujah. May God help us to connect and connect well. May you connect well. Hallelujah. There must be a constant connection between you and your Creator. I always want to use the word Creator because you must remember that you were created. And if you were created, then the one who created you knows you better than you know yourself. Oh, yes. There are even some husbands that don't know much about their wives. Yeah. One day they just go to town and they bump into somebody, and then the person gives them a download of how. Because, Charlie, you see, I think that one of the places they should do auditioning when they want to act is in the church. Because we are a bunch of actors. We are a bunch of pretenders. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, people place me because I'm a bishop. You place me. I'm also flesh and blood. I'm flesh and blood. The mistakes you are doing, I can also make those mistakes. But you see, because you have placed me there, I now have to act to make you happy. That, I said the man is a superman. But I'm not a superman after all. Because I make a lot of mistakes. That is why when people, your pastor does something to you, you get so hurt. Because your mind is that, he must know better. But you also know better. Listen, the very day that you say that I'm going to cease from making mistakes, in fact, that statement itself is a mistake. I said that statement is what? A mistake. Look, we will make mistakes all the time. We are full of mistakes all the time. May we not act? I said, may we not what? Oh yeah, may we not act? I am saying that if Nollywood wants actors, one of the best places they will get clients or people to audition is the church. When you become so real, you are at peace. Because when you act, you have to continue. It's not easy to continue acting. At time, I remember there was one guy, I was watching a movie. This guy is a Nigerian guy. You have accent. He was trying to speak Cockney. Do you know Cockney? British. They have some accents. Started speaking. Then something happened. I said, oh God, this one don't pay me now. Hey, I've forgotten that I'm a British. Because there comes a time you cannot act forever. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? There comes a time you cannot do what? You cannot act forever. And listen to me. You must also know that mistakes helps you to grow. Yeah. Sometimes you need a mistake to make you humble. Yeah. Sometimes you just say that, Charlie, me, this thing, it will never happen to me. Then it happens to you. Immediately you begin to realize that I'm a man. I better not boast anymore. Hallelujah. So the mistakes, when you can acknowledge that you are frail, you are weak, you are human, you connect even to the source of power and authority even more. Yeah. Hallelujah. So God is turning somebody into a man of authority. In the book of Mark chapter 6, verse number 2. Mark 6, the Bible says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach. Jesus, he was a great teacher. Hallelujah. And he was not bothered about religion. He was very interested in the message that had to get there. He began to teach. Amen. And he says that in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. They were shocked. Do you know why they were shocked? You will find it in the scripture. Saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? That's where the problem was. I mean, it's like, this man, we've always known him as a carpenter. We've always known him as somebody who does tables. The work he does is tables and chairs or kitchen stool. And here he is speaking with such authority, with such power, miracles taking place. Where did he pick this thing from? Listen to me. Jesus was a man of authority because he spent quality time in the presence of his Father praying. Prayer will make you into a man of authority. The Bible says that a great while before day, he went into a solitary place and there he prayed. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7:28, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at the doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the scribes, they didn't preach with authority. But Jesus preached with authority. Hallelujah. If you are a preacher and you are not prayerful, you cannot preach with authority. Your words will not carry power. You will speak to a disease and the disease will come on. It will just show you it's 32. Hallelujah. Yeah. You'll not be a man of power. You will not be a man of authority. You will cast out a demon. And the demon will be laughing at you. Ha, what are you talking about? You don't check yourself. You have to check yourself before you come around. If you do, I'll disgrace you right now. Maybe as the demon mentioned, if you do, I'll disgrace you. You've gone to do some sin and you've hidden the sin. Then you begin to be afraid. Hallelujah. I pray for you that you'll be a man of authority. Jesus was not introduced to this world by anyone. In fact, his background was questioned and many had reservations about his parentage. Nobody introduced Jesus. Nobody came. You see, when I was coming to preach, I was introduced. I was introduced by Lady Reverend. Jesus was not introduced. All we heard John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. What does this mean? That statement that he made, many people even didn't understand what he was saying. Behold the Lamb of God. A human being is passing, say the Lamb of God. What is the meaning of that? Introduction. The people even didn't understand who. Presence of God. Because of his constant moments of prayer and seeking the face of God. Look, at a point, he was confronted with a life-threatening issue. He knew that, Charlie, the hour was come. The hour was here, is here. The hour is now. And something must be done. The first thing he did was that he went to Gethsemane. And then he prayed because he knew that if there is anyone who can deliver him from the situation, it will be his Father. And the Bible says that he prayed and his tears was like blood. Extreme exhaustion. Jesus went through an extreme exhaustion because of the situation that was awaiting him. He said, Father, if it be my will, let this cup pass by. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Father, I don't want to go to the cross. There's a difference. Because you see, he was wearing flesh and blood. So he felt like men felt. Oh, yeah. But in the midst of the pain, in the midst of what he was going through, he still prayed that, look, if you do this, then I choose your will way above what I feel. You know, most of the times, what we do is that we sometimes even know God's will, but God's will doesn't align with what we want. And so sometimes we say, this is the voice of the devil. So you hear God speaking loudly, and then you interpret the voice of God as the devil. Because you see, everything bad is the devil. But the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. So the good and the bad and the ugly, they work together for your good. Oh yes, they work together. You see, that mistake that you made. You know, there are some young girls, I like to use young girls because there are some young girls, you know, they move in the midst of boys. You see? They move in the midst of boys. It's like your playmates are boys. And sometimes you just have a naive mind. So you are playing with the boys and everything. Then one dresses you like that suddenly. And then you ask, hey, what is that? What do you mean by what's that? Make you lie down, make we see. Then you see a demon has entered into the boy. He's removing your trousers and he's pulling your pants. And then you say, huh? And then you suddenly throw your leg and it hits something. The dumbbells. And then you run away. That experience will teach you something. You will not be moving around with boys like that anymore. I mean, if you don't learn, you will learn one day. Because if you continue, something will happen that will make you learn. You know, it will be a very terrible experience. It will be a very terrible experience, but you would have learned something. Sometimes that learning will leave a certain mark and a scar that you may never overcome. That is why counseling, sometimes when you are being advised, just take it. Because sometimes the older woman who is just advising, she's not been able to tell you, and she doesn't want it to repeat with you. Yeah. There are many people who have had attempts of rape, but they can't openly say it. Because when they say it, it looks like they are weak. It looks like you're a bad person, and it's tormenting them mentally. Even till death, you may be married. You see that the thing is tormenting you. That is what has even affected your sex life in your marriage. Because anytime your husband makes moves, no, you remember what the guy did. That's why I say that, Charlie, we have a lot of actors. And the reason is because we want to. The Bible says that each man will say good things about himself. You know, I mean, when people are giving, I remember there was a president, he gave himself, is it 90-something%? When the people were saying he scored 20%, he said, no, 90-something%. Hallelujah. Whenever when you look at your life from the day you were born till now, what would you say? Do you think that all has been well? How many percentage would you give yourself? You will give yourself 100%. But you know that is not true. Or you don't get what I'm trying to say. One lady, the father told her, how can a boy be your friend? How can a boy be your friend? A boy is not your friend. One day, some boys went to visit her in the house. And the man pulled a gun. When I heard the story, I said, "Child, this is the wildest story I've ever heard." The man pulled a gun, and I said, "What are you looking for in my house? What are you looking for in my house?" Then the guy said, "He's a boy."
Like, did you go to Fatiman? Hey, it wasn't easy for the guy. He said, where? Which of the schools are you mates? Because my daughter went to Bishop Bowers and my daughter went to Infantiman. And you say you are mates. So which one? And you are a boy. Hey. You see, because I'm sure that the father had some experiences in life. Or possibly he himself has done certain things that he knows that somebody can do to the daughter. So he's shielding the daughter before the daughter becomes a victim. I'm telling you. Look, we always play ourselves in our children. Possibly your ambition was to be a doctor. And when you don't become a doctor, you want to force your son to become a doctor or your daughter to become. When your son or daughter, you feel fulfilled and accomplished. Yeah, or you wanted to be a lawyer. You see, these were the two key professions. Even engineering and all those, we didn't really understand what it was. I mean, say you're an engineer, we don't know much. Yeah, and then accountant. But we knew that, the feeling was that accountants, they steal money. I don't know for what reason. Maybe the business, sometime, but business, so I'm sure. Yeah, sundry account. Miscellaneous. Hallelujah. You are becoming a man of authority. I say you are becoming a man of authority. As you enter into the closet, and as you continue and consistently wait on the Lord in prayer, as you spend quality moments and quality time with God, you are becoming a man of authority. May God make you into a man of authority. Hallelujah. Now, when you read from Luke chapter 4, verse 14, look at that scripture very well. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Jesus. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. How come his fame went all around? Because he had been at a place. When you stay in the place of secret, God rewards you openly. So when you are in the place of secret, God will expose you to the world. When you spend time with him, he will use you as a showpiece and a showcase for the world. Hey, and after that, Charlie, the miracles. I mean, it was in succession. Somebody will come with an issue of blood. That person is healed. Another person will come, he's a cripple. That person will be healed. Another person will come infested with demons. Then the demons will be cast out. Power had been released because he spent time praying to his father. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you become a man of authority when you spend more time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. May you spend time in God's presence. I say, may you spend time in God's presence. Hallelujah. May you learn to consistently and persistently stay in the presence of God. Address issues in your closet. Hallelujah. Look. You see, you have no idea. Guys, I'm going to show you something and I want you to project it, okay? Yeah. Get it and project it. You know, some of us, when things happen, we feel that, oh, it's a normal thing that happens in life. It's not a normal thing. It's not a normal. When things are abnormal, you should have the eyes to see that this is not normal. You are doing well. Suddenly, it's like everything is spot. The business that was doing well, suddenly it's like everything is poor. Then you say, oh, you see, and we have a way of explaining it away by using the economy. Have you seen this metal? Have you seen this thing? Look at it very well. Have you seen this thing? Have you seen it? Yeah, this thing. This thing. One day, 2 weeks ago. Huh? Some three guys were coming to church and they had an accident. Look, the accident that they had, they hit the back of some Land Cruiser. It wasn't any wild accident. And the guy was sitting at the back and the guy, I was just praying. I picked it up. I was just praying. That day, I became very some way. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I wouldn't relate with anybody. You know, and when I pick up those, I don't want to talk to anybody because, Charlie, it's a battle. This guy was rushed to the hospital. The guy fell into a coma. Yeah. And the white lady, Beauty, you were with us. The white lady who is a doctor said that, she told me, said that, the way she was talking is like, Charlie, prepare for death. And I said, oh, this guy, he's not going to die. No. Death, no. He's not going to die. So I actually went there and I laid hands on him and I prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, wherever his soul has gotten to, please, when he gets to the heaven's gate, you see, when you become desperate, you see, when you are a shepherd, you don't know who a shepherd is. When you are a shepherd and you can see that a lion is coming after your sheep, you don't leave the person. I said, look, when he gets to the heaven's gate, whichever angel is there, Lord, please instruct him that his pastor have need of him here on earth. It's not time. And I have a covenant with you. It's not time, Lord. Oh, even when I prayed a prayer, it even became worse. Yeah, it became worse and it was like he was gasping. They worked on him from 9 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock, trying to resuscitate him back to life. A church member. Because look, we had declared all the prayers and fasting we have been praying and fasting. We are not dying. We are not. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? We have been praying, seeking the face of God. The Bible says that we must pray without ceasing. So that morning, that first half prayer that you pray doesn't mean that it covers everything. You must constantly pray. Don't stop praying. Some of us, when we finish our one month or whatever fast, that's the end of prayer for you. It's a big mistake. So I came in for our uncomfortable fire service here. You know, and that whole week, I was quite disturbed in my spirit. You know? Then our sister Beauty said, Daddy, it is bad. At the car park, I know that I couldn't be bothered who was there. I knelt down and said, Lord. Then when I opened my eyes, I realized that all the pastors and the people with me today had knelt down. I said, Lord, this is my supplication. This is my request. I am standing. You said that I am his shepherd. You gave him to me to shepherd him. And I picked it up that Satan wants to take the life of that boy. Lord, I pray and recall his spirit back. Yeah. Then she called me again and said, the values are changing. Bishop, the values have changed. Bishop, the values are changing. I mean, we don't know. The doctors are all saying that they don't know how things are happening. The values are changing. At a point, they said that the chest is so bad. They checked the chest. They went to do a test. The chest was clear. You see, I showed you something there, but I'm building my point. I just want to stir up in you a certain desire to pray. So they said, well, they are going to do surgery, you know, and that they needed $40,000 to buy an implant. It's some small thing, implant.
40,000 Ghana cedis. I spoke to some people. I said, look, this guy must be saved. And thank God that we are a family. And anybody's challenge is our challenge. Yeah. See, you have no clue what even goes on behind the scenes. You see, when your allergic reactions come, your rashes come, and you are angry, you don't even know what is going on behind. See, there are people who have allergic reactions more often. You know, be very careful. Don't judge people. Don't, especially your man of God. Because there are a lot of battles everywhere. You know? Uh-huh. So, well, we got it. We sent for this thing. Later they said his potassium level is... I said, look, I kept praying. I said, Satan, you can bring the potassium level to zero. This guy is not going to die. I took it personal. It's like David, who a bear had come to take his sheep. He said, I will not release him for you. Oh, yes. They went to do the surgery. This is what they picked from his brain. Did you understand what I said? Yeah, this thing is what they picked from his brain. Even the thing is bigger than his head. Oh, sister, am I telling lies? If I'm telling lies, tell me, am I telling lies? Yeah. But you know what? The saints were praying. The pastor of the person was praying. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And listen, the fact that we had made declarations, do you understand? The prophet has given us 12 points to pray, and part of it was that we are not going to die this year. I mean, how can you just give in when a prophecy has been spoken over your life? Paul told Timothy, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that have gone before on thee, thou mightest wage a good warfare. The prophecies have been spoken, but you need to continue in prayer. Yeah. This was what was found in the person's head. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I'll build a small glass and put it inside, and then I'll write a testimony of somebody. The thing was thrown in the spirit into his brain. He's well. He's bounced back. We are waiting and looking forward to celebrate Jesus about what the Lord has done in the life of this young man. The enemy planned evil, but God is using it for his glory. He's using it for his glory. Some of you, when we are organizing prayer meetings, you won't come. You are so busy. If you are busy to pray, then you are very busy. Show them the thing. It's a metal. Who has the biggest head here? Let's just compare that head to your head, that thing. Because the guy has a small head. Eugenia says not. You, this Eugenia. Hallelujah. Church, why am I showing you what I'm showing you? I'm showing you that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh yeah, we do not war after the flesh. Sometimes I'm talking to people and I can just pick up a spirit that is fighting the person. I may never talk about it, but I'll go into my closet to stand on behalf of the person. Because what do I even gain by talking about it? I only even generate more fear. I generate more fear. Yeah. One day, a lady told me that she has this breathlessness. I picked it up in the spirit that the enemy just wanted to terminate her life. I just encouraged her. And then I went into my closet and I began to pray. I said, well, Lord, this lady is very, very useful in the kingdom. I mean, if any other, you choose one of the useless ones to go, but not this one. You know, useless is not an insult. Useless, it means you can't use it. So that is useless. Please don't get angry. I'm sorry if you're angry. I'm very, very sorry. I didn't even mention your name. Hallelujah. All right. Number three. Are you being blessed? Pray, because prayer makes you a man of anointing. Oh, somebody's becoming a man of anointing. I said, somebody's becoming a man of anointing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to make you into a man of anointing. One of the things the shepherd does is to preserve his sheep against flies. And I'm telling you that flies have, the Bible says that the flies, they have a way, that flies have a way of spoiling things. All right? Flies are demons. Do you understand? So you need anointing specifically for demons, to deal with demons. So you see that the shepherd is always anointing the sheep. A good shepherd is not here. Real shepherds, I mean, you go to Australia, go to Argentina, those are proper shepherds. I mean, it's not here. Hi. No. Real shepherds, who really is like, that is their vocation. That is what they stand for. They smear their sheep with oil. And the flies cannot, even you, those who travel and come, sometimes they smear themselves with something to ward off all these flies, isn't it? Mosquitoes. We call them mosquito repellent. That is what a real shepherd does. And when you are smeared, it wards off demons. Now, when you're a man of prayer, the Lord smears you and wraps you with his anointing. Anointing for work. Anointing, you know, to preserve you. Anointing that makes you slippery in the hands of the enemy. And that serves as protection for your life. Hallelujah. How many want to be men and women of anointing? When you are close to someone, something rubs off you. Whenever you spend time in prayer, you are spending time talking to God. The more you talk to someone, the closer you become to the person. The closer you are to someone, the more things rub off on you. Do you want some of God's glory to be on you? Do you want the anointing to be on your life? I wish I could offer you an easier way, but only prayer will bring you close to God. Turn to somebody and tell him, only prayer. Yeah, will bring you close to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, people might be far away. All right? If I take, for instance, let's say Uncle T. Her children are not here. But what brings them closer to her is the telephone. The communication. And you see, even the fact that they have become far, they are far now, even makes him call them more to check up on them. So you see, no one is far from God. If only you can pray, you will be close. No matter the distance. Maybe you will measure the distance from the earth to wherever God is. Per your understanding. You might think, oh no, God is far away from me. Listen to me. He's close to people whose hearts are broken, who has a contrite spirit. So far as you stay brokenhearted in his presence and constantly communicate with him, he's nearer to you. I said he's nearer to you. I see God staying nearer and nearer to you. Amen. In Exodus 24 verse 18, the Bible says, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, when Moses came back from his 40 days escapade with God, the people could not behold his face. The glory of the Lord was all around him. The people could listen to me. There are some demons. You see, you are going to collect visa. A demon is sitting there who you are going to ask for a visa from. I mean, your mere sight even annoys him. But I'm telling you that if you're a man of prayer, a person will bow. I said, a person will bow. I said, a person will bow. Maybe a demon has entered your boss and your boss is giving you troubles. If you're a man of prayer, it's either he will resign. He will rather resign, actually. Yeah, because he cannot stand it. May you be a man of prayer. May you be a woman of prayer. May you be conscious. Spending quality time in God's presence. Turn to somebody and tell him, be conscious of prayer. Hallelujah. Number four. So you are becoming a man of anointing. Yeah. Pray, because prayer binds demonic activities in your life. Do you know that there are activities going on all the time? And what you need to understand is that spirits cannot exist freely without, you know, getting hold of a body. So the Holy Spirit, who is also a spirit, needs a body. Evil spirits, which are also spirits, need a body. So evil spirits are contending with the same person that the Holy Spirit wants to possess. I mean, Holy Spirit doesn't possess, all right? He fails. Yeah. So what happens is that you would see that when you give him room and you give him the chance, he just enters into you and he begins to use you. He will use you for what he wants to do, and then he will destroy your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at Joshua. What happened? Judas. Look at what happened to him. Judas was playing smart. Sometimes when you try to play smart, you be the loser. He was playing smart. I'm sure that he said that, look, these guys, I will trick them. I will trick them. I'm going to sell Jesus. When they are coming to catch him, then you vanish. That was his human mind. He will vanish. When they come to you, I'll say, hey, didn't I hand him over to you? And then I'll even bring the money for us to use it for ministry work. But he didn't know that the enemy had chosen him as a vessel to use. May the enemy not choose you. May you not be the choice of the devil. May God deliver you from the enemy using you to destroy your life. Hallelujah. Dear friend, dear pastor, a church is not a secular organization. You need to bind the devil for several important reasons. And even with regards to your business, you need to know that, look, if you hand over your business to God, it means that you must stand in the gap. And I'm telling you, look, businessmen and businesswomen, learn this principle. Let God be the senior partner. Let the Holy Spirit be the senior partner of your business. And the business is a person. Tell yourself that henceforth, Lord, one of the things I'm going to do to honor you and honor your word is that, because the business is a person, when you register the business, it says it's a limited by guarantee, limited by this, and the business is a person. So if I, the person, I pay tithe, I'll also pay tithe on all my increase. So God, this is it. The thing is in your hands. Take over. Once you begin to do that, you have entered into a certain covenant with God. And so when you continuously stand in prayer, intercede on behalf of the business, let me tell you something.
God will cause you to be glorious. So listen to this. You must bind the devil's activity that causes divisions and disloyalty among your leaders that you have chosen. If you are a pastor, your leaders. If you are a businessman, your managers. Sometimes there's confusion among them. Wherever the devil is, he brings confusion. Hey, you are a husband. The persistent and the continuous confusion in your home. Stop using temperaments. Sometimes it may be temperaments, but the key thing is the devil has been admitted in your home. You need to drive him away. I say you need to do what? Drive him away. Amen. Number two, you must bind his influence that causes backsliding, immorality, and sin. Oh, yes. If you are a pastor, you must pray. If you are a mother, you are a father, you must pray. Because when your daughters or your sons go out, you don't know what they go out there to do. Some of us, we believe our children so much that when they even come to say this, you don't even want to probe. You are going to fight the person. Stand in the gap in prayer for the children. Stand in the gap in prayer for your family. Stand in the gap in prayer for the church. Stand in the gap in prayer for everything. Amen. In the gap. See, you must bind the demons that cause poverty. Poverty is caused by demons. You know that. Did you know that poverty is caused by demons? Yeah. When we look at all these developed countries, that's where the gospel started. As they have now become godless. The God they started with, the in God we trust, and the missionaries they sent, and the evangelists who stood and contended and prayed against the principalities and contended with them. Those missionaries and their works is what has preserved those nations. But you see, because they've become a godless nation, they are gradually drifting off. Now, the problem they are facing is not easy. It's not easy for them. Because when you take God out of the equation, you miss it all. I said you miss it all. Let God be the constant in your mathematical equation. Say amen to that. The next, you must bind the spirits that raise accusations and slander against the church. If you are a pastor, bind their spirits. If you are a husband, bind. If you are a wife, bind. You see that you are always accusing your wife. When I dropped you off, that guy who sits at that counter, I know that something is going on. Something is going on. Something is going on. I watched a documentary. There's this guy. The wife was talking to the father. You know, and there are some of the girls, they are like beloveds, and their fathers are like beloveds. As they were talking, oh, daddy, thank you so much. What would I have done without you? Then the husband came. What do you mean? He picked the phone. Listen to me. Don't talk to my wife again. Then he said that. He mentioned his name. He said, Anthony, it's me. Oh, daddy, I'm very, very sorry. The spirit of accusation is a spirit of Satan. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that the accusations are the things that bring confusion in the home. You're a lady, you accuse your husband. Hey, the small, small girls. Hey, you. Hey, this. Hey. But you too, if it's like that, stop. Because you are creating problems in the home. Hallelujah. You must bind the spirit of accusation. Tell to somebody that you must bind the spirit of accusation. I mean, this is one of the spirits that you must address. Because I'm telling you, when you are accused for a very long time, at a point, you will find yourself doing what you were accused for. Did you know that? Yeah. I have a cousin, it's called Abuaji. The guy wants to change. He said, I've changed. I will not do that thing again. He came around. When still, as a guy has changed, when this guy said, hey, everybody should close his door. Hey, the thief has come. One day he said, look, when I even change, you people, you don't accept me. So let me go back to my things and rather do it even more. So the guy was not able to change. Hallelujah. We must create room for forgiveness, though. It's important. A great room trusting that somebody can change. So accusation is a bad and an evil thing. I mean, it's like when you even see these guys who are accusing us, it stinks and it smells. You know, when you are speaking lies, you say things out there, you twist the thing a little bit. And the person does, you see, let me tell you something. When somebody wants to give you, when wants to give the bailer food or mouse food, wants to kill the mouse, it gives it food, but mixes it with something. Actually, the person will give you what you like most, and then you just sprinkle something on it. So when you see, you are attracted, and then by the time you realize, you have been killed. So you need to stand in the gap and pray against these things. It's very, very important. Sometimes you are accused by your business partner. Sometimes you are accused by your boss. Wherever the accusation is coming from, always remember, it is demonic. We bind the powers of darkness. We bind the spirits of accusation. And we declare that Satan will not have his field day in your home, in your business, in your ministry, and in your life. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for the Lord. Oh, you can do it better. You can do it better. What are the 10 reasons? We have spoken about 5, I think, or 4. What's the first one? Prayer makes you into a man of what? A man of what? Listen, I see God make you into a man of faith. Hallelujah. As you spend more time in his presence, may faith generate. Hallelujah. What is the second point? Prayer makes you into a man of what? Say, prayer makes you into a man of authority. Oh, say, prayer makes you into a man of authority. Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me to spend quality time in prayer. Make me into a man of authority. Make me into a man of authority through prayer in the name of Jesus. What is the third point? Prayer makes you into a man of what?
Anointing.
Makes you into a man of what?
Anointing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Moses became very anointed. The power and the glory of God came upon him when he spent quality time with the Father. Amen. After Jesus had spent time with God, the Bible says that he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. When you are anointed, you see that you become a man of power and a man of authority. Amen. What's the fourth one? Prayer, that's what? It binds what?
Demonic activity.
And then what else? Demonic activities in your life and in your ministry. Father, we want to thank you for your truth. Lift your hands wherever you are. Lift your hands, everybody, lift your hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Lift up your voice and begin to pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit for 2 minutes. Just pray in the Spirit right now. Wherever you are standing, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The power of God is here. The presence of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. Lift your voice and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Yandaraba kuri yandaraba bariyanda. Yabalaba bariyanda rabako. Rabalaba bariyanda. Lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the spirit. All across the auditorium, pray in the spirit. Yabala Bapari andara bakuri andara baba. Yandala Bapari andara bakuri andara baba. Yabala bala babari andara bapari andara bakuri andara bara bara bapari andara baba. Yandara bapari andara bakuri andara bala baba. Yandara bapari andara bakuri andara baba. Yandala babari andere bakari andara. Lift your voice and pray in the spirit. Oh, you are activating things in the realms of the spirit. Power is being made available. Lift your voice and pray. Lusha paka para ndara baba, reba la baba ri ndara bakura baba. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that we are overcoming every wiles and every plans of the enemy. We thank you that through your word, we access into your wisdom. We access into your knowledge. And thank you for the spirit of understanding. I pray that we will not walk as ignorant men on earth, but we will walk like the sons of Issachar did. That we will understand the seasons and the times that we are in. We will understand the role that prayer plays in our lives. Yes. We will not leave things to chance, O God. We will not leave things to the enemy. We will contend and battle until we see the mighty hand of God prevailing over our enemies. Holy Spirit, we pray, fill our hearts with a desire to spend time with the Father. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your salvation that have come upon homes, families, children, and even ministries, in Jesus' name. And all said amen. Well, you were invited to church. As we close our eyes briefly, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you. It's not his wish that you should die. It's not his wish that you should go to hell. It is his wish that you are saved. If I said, where I am, there you may be also. His desire is for you to be where he is. You want to say, Bishop, pray for me. I'm not too sure if I should die where I'll spend eternity. But I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Wherever you are standing, can you lift your hand? You are saying that, Bishop, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. Lift your hands wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you right now. God bless you. I can see all those hands lifted. Lift it above your head right now. And the next thing I want you to do, take your bags, take your books, take your whatever, your belongings, and then join me here. Just walk to me right now. Just walk to me right now. I want to pray for you. Don't be shy. Today is your day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Just come to Jesus. Come to him. Put your hands together for them as they come. Oh, a round of applause for them. Encourage them. God bless you. 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 Run to the mercy seat of God. Oh, yes, Lord. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. There are two more. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take a decision now. Today is the only opportunity. The last person, where are you? Come. Today is your day of salvation. He wants to wash you. The last person, there is one person. Join us right now as we pray. Oh, yes. You cannot die and go to hell. I say you cannot die and go to hell. God is offering you an opportunity and a chance. Just take advantage right now. Just walk to me right now as we pray with you. Walk to me quickly. One person. One. There is room for one. Quickly. 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 Don't be shy at all.
Oh, yes. Wonderful people, can you lift your hands to God? I want to pray for you. You want to pray this simple prayer, all right? You are speaking to God, committing your life into His hands, and telling Him that you want to hand over. He should take charge. Congregation, help us. Pray this simple prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. And thank you for dying on the cross for me. This morning, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Wash me with your precious blood. I open my heart to you. Come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I want to serve you and I want to please you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me.